Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, Swaggoo and Perk, an ESPN podcast led by his namesake hosts Marcus Spears, Swaggoo, and Kendrick Perkins. With new episodes every Tuesday, Spears and Perkins will bring listeners the latest NBA and NFL news, as well as take a look inside their lives, career journey with can't-miss conversations. That's Swaggoo and Perk. Listen wherever you get your podcast, and also available on ESPN's YouTube channel. Also, the Peabody and Emmy Award-winning 30 for 30 documentary film series presents The Tuck Rule, a documentary that examines one of the most controversial plays in sports history. See the legendary Charles Woodson and Tom Brady discuss, for the first time, the call that changed it all. Watch live February 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, also available the next day on ESPN+. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is Foxworth Friday. Dominique Foxworth, what's going on?
Oh, man, ready for this game to happen. You feeling any FOMO for not being at the Super Bowl? When's the last time you've gone to a Super Bowl?
The only time I went to a Super Bowl was in Atlanta in February 2019, I guess. Mm-hmm. Rams-Patriots.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you had to go because it's Atlanta, right?
Well, yes. Yes. That was the only real reason I had to be there. Thanks for watching on YouTube, by the way. The thing that I don't like about, or at least I didn't like about the Super Bowl for me is, one, pretty much everybody there is corporate. You know, I got my seats. I'm sitting next to Pablo. Danielle Smith and Elliot Wilson are sitting right next to me on the other side when Danielle was working at ESPN. I don't know if she still is, but she was working at ESPN at the time. You know, so they there on the ESPN seats. Everybody's there on the ESPN seats. What did suck, though, is there was a fan in my section. In fact, there were 2 fans in my section. And you know where they were sitting? Right in front of me. And you know what they were doing?
Standing up.
Standing up every time the Patriots had the ball. And by the way, did not appear to be having any fun. Yeah. Whatsoever. They were so nervous. And then halfway through the fourth quarter, they're like, something to the effect of, oh, are you in the way? I was like, dawg, you've been in the way. I never saw the Patriots had a ball. And on top of it, it was a boring game. And I know there are people that are out here hearing this, and they're like, oh, you complaining about going to the Super Bowl. You're damn right. And let me tell you the part that I complained about in the moment that I realized what was going on, man. Because first of all, you know me. You know what I'm saying? You know how I was feeling when I went up in that bad boy. Uh-huh. And that wasn't conducive to being bored. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The game itself was boring. And then at one point, Pablo looked over at me and said, you know what would be really good right now? I was like, what's up? Some commercials. Because so much of the Super Bowl experience is the commercials, and you don't get that when you are at the Super Bowl. But I did get to see Big Boy start an ATL chant at the Super Bowl. And that's a highlight of life right there. I was present for that.
Who was there to you were just saying it's mostly corporate. Who was in there to keep the chant going?
At that point, it didn't matter. Somehow he snuck it into his performance. And I think he just said ATL in the rhythm. And so you did just wind up basically being me.
It was a one-man ATL chant.
That's right.
I didn't mean the game as much as the week leading up to the game, because I've been to a few Super Bowls and they're fine. But the week leading up to it, I haven't been to obviously I'm not going this year. I didn't go last year for obvious reasons. I haven't been in a while, but that week is kind of fun. I'm not a party guy, but the best part is roaming around the Super Bowl areas and running into people, having impromptu hangouts with your friends that you don't see in a while, or running into old teammates and that sort of stuff. I do miss that a little bit, but other than that, I'm good. I normally move my tickets is the smart thing to do, because I was thinking about this yesterday. If the Jets ever make it to the Super Bowl, those going to be some high prices. Woo! You're going to be able to make a mint. I want Jets Cowboys, something like that. And I'm going to get caked up off these tickets.
Yeah. I am curious, what an LA Super Bowl hitting on, right? Because you already got so many people who are just already there. Like, so the Vegas Super Bowl, I recommend we all avoid that.
Oh, yeah. Vegas and NFL, like, it'll never, there's always something.
Well, I remember that one time the NBA tried to get a crack at in Vegas. And
the football players showed up.
Yes. And, that's right.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And we have all just universally decided not to talk about it ever again. Ever. Nobody ever brings it up. Like, the NBA is kind of like, I guess y'all are going to talk about the matters at the Palace, right? Okay, we can't do too much about that. No one has spoken on the 2007 All-Star Game since 2007. It's just like, nope, we're just not going to bring this up. No, we are not. Here's the thing, because when you hear the stories about the 07 All-Star Game, if you know anything about just kind of like the geopolitics of Black America or whatever, all the things I was hearing about that happened there, I was like, oh, this is all Cali dudes. Like, all the stuff they were doing was just so decidedly California, like shooting dice in front of the casino, for example. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was real shy homie. You know, it had a whole lot of shy homie within it. And so the problem on that one wasn't the people who caught a flight to Vegas. It was the people who drove. You know, that's where things was getting problematic. And so with L.A., though, those same cats know where they not supposed to go in L.A.
Right.
They go to Vegas and they're like, I'm free. They show up everywhere, right? There's nowhere you can't go in Vegas. The places you can't go in Vegas, you don't know about.
Right.
Right. In L.A., they know the places and they're like, nope, we're not supposed to go over there.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing about the Super Bowl is, at least for me, is there's so much happening that you can back into something cool. Like, every Super Bowl I've gone to, like, I ended up like just randomly and not on some like got some money or some celebrity or connection stuff. It's just like there's so much happening that they are not, I don't know how to put it, but like it feels like if somebody comes to your city, it's hard to get tickets to the show. But there's like 14 shows popping every day. Like, I remember being in New Orleans and like went out to eat. Next thing I know, there's a Lil Wayne concert and I'm backstage. Like, how did this happen? And nobody is like, hey, Foxworth, come on back. This is well before anybody knew who I was. I just like stumbled into backstage at a Weezy show just because so much has happened.
Yeah, and Super Bowl is different than All-Star in the respect that like NBA All-Star weekend can feel overwhelming because it'd be like a bunch of little things going on, like some bigger things. But unless you got a clear plan, you're just like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And you don't really stumble into stuff in the same way. You're right when that way with the Super Bowl that you just be here and the next thing you know, bloop.
Yep. Every one I've gone to, I went to the Atlanta one, Houston joint, and New Orleans. I've been to a bunch of them. And every single one, I went to the New York one, every single one, the weirdest one was the New York one. I went to Indy, was the same thing where I'm just walking around. But New York was weird because New York City, the only city in the world, maybe, where the Super Bowl don't matter.
Yeah.
Every other city I went to, NFL took over. I went to New York, and you go two blocks outside of their little Super Bowl radius, and you was in New York.
Yeah, they're like, oh, there's a thing going on in town. It's like a convention.
That city's crazy. That stumbling into something is a pretty cool experience that, oh, yeah, the Miami one, too, where I just, like, up and find myself at a concert or a popping party that's going on at, like, 8 p.m. too. I'm in bed and sleep by 10. That's my type of life.
So who more worried about people not like showing up to places on time? Sean McVay or Zach Taylor? Like, I feel like with McVay, you're like, yo, we live here all the time. You know, we should wind up like ultimately being all right. But McVay, they got a whole bunch of dudes that can't believe they there.
Yeah, and they got a young, well, they both kind of got young teams. But I feel like the Rams expected it, which I think is like, all right, this is what we're here for. So if anybody go find themselves mixed up in something, I'm guessing that it's the team that's like on this wild ride. Nothing can go wrong for us. We are happy to be here. It is all kind of found money at this point. But I mean, for the most part, football teams are disciplined, I guess is the word you want to put on it. There's a real curfew thing, which I think sounds outrageous to other adults and especially guys in other sports is, us football players don't mess around with authority. Like, we fall in line. They say the curfew is the curfew, and we're in our rooms. There might be some people putting some towels under their door to have a good time in their own way, but they're not out in the streets for the most part. You rarely, if ever, hear about a football player on an away trip getting into something. That's right. Not like basketball players. They show up and they be sponsoring parties and getting into stuff every now and then, but everything's a business trip for us.
Well, also football players don't live on the road.
Yeah.
Like the life of being on the road for an NBA player or a baseball player. Yeah, they always out there. They know somebody and everywhere, you know, in football, like the travels just ain't really the same way. And this ain't the 80s. Because there's always the infamous story of Stanley Wilson. For those of you who are too young to know the story of Stanley Wilson had a problem with cocaine, right? Like, no judgment on it, but this is the thing. He had a problem with cocaine. He was a running back for the Bengals in 1988, and the Super Bowl was in Miami. There were concerns, oh no, Stanley Wilson, what if he doesn't make it to the Super Bowl? Like, before the Super Bowl happened. And the Super Bowl came around, and Stanley Wilson was not there. He was not there, right? In the 80s, I think that was maybe a little more of a concern.
I wonder if it's like, because I haven't been in the NFL since like...
Well, hold on. I almost forgot what else happened in Miami.
What?
It was January of 1999.
No.
And the Atlanta Falcons were in the Super Bowl for the first time ever, riding the magic of a 14-2 season. And there's a gentleman on the team named Eugene Robinson,
yep.
who happened to have been a one-time winner of the NFL Man of the Year Award.
So you're going to take Walter Payton's name off of it for that one?
He was on Biscayne Boulevard and was accosted by law enforcement for the solicitation of a prostitute. That happened in Miami. That was a business trip.
That killed your fandom, right? Vick situation.
The dog fighting situation just made me just look around and wonder why I'm here.
Oh, man. That was a business trip. See, like, if it wasn't a business trip, then you go out and you try to meet somebody.
Fair.
If it is a business trip, you're like, hey, I got a transaction to make so I can focus. Get this poison out of my system. I'm going to go ahead and make a fair transaction. Football players are disciplined.
Fair.
In a bad way. I was going down this path of like the social media stuff. Is like I wasn't in the league when it was popping like it is now, where like it feels like the guys who are in the league now like grew up in a way where the internet is a place.
Right.
Whereas like for me, the internet was a thing. And I can't imagine what it's like now to go to different cities when you exist online. So like we knew people in other cities, maybe for my teammates who had played there or we used to live there or something. But now, like if you are an NFL star, you know people in every city, people that you might want to see.
Well, hold up. You might not even know them. It's just
they know you.
Out here, hashtag out here, and you geotag it that you are in wherever the right doesn't matter the place, and then just go to your Instagram DMs, and I imagine that a good time is just right there waiting on you.
That gotta be the most dangerous thing, though. Like I'd
be terrified.
I mean, you'd be terrified at this age. If I was 20, I might be out here geotagging out here or what's popping tonight, and then try to figure out where to go. But now, as like a full grown adult, whoever is taking, there's a percentage of the people that are jumping in your DMs that is not just trying to have a good time.
No.
And then you just are asking for, you set yourself up with your out here text to get robbed or something worse.
Yeah, that's I've seen some ridiculous prices for parking, like thousands of dollars prices of parking. And people, you know, they going to let you park in their front yard. You know what I'm saying? Because it's Englewood, right? Good little chance to come up on some bread. Don't you leave nothing in your car. I don't know. I don't care how much they done gentrified Englewood. Don't you leave nothing in your car.
That's just a rule, though. Like, I feel like.
Yeah. But don't you leave nothing in your car.
Do you leave stuff in your car now? Well, you don't have a car now, right?
I don't have a car. And I mean, I've gotten got over the years. Like, my lessons have been learned. However, the Super Bowl is going to attract a lot of people who don't really give this stuff a whole lot of thought.
Yeah.
No one would take my things.
That's fair.
Don't leave nothing in your car.
It's good advice. It might be too late for some people, but it's good advice nonetheless.
But that's the fun part about the Super Bowl that gets lost is I've told you my story about the time I didn't get into the Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
All right. But I got caught sneaking in.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who don't know this, where the Mercedes-Benz Stadium is in Atlanta now, where the Georgia Dome was, is right around the corner from where I went to college. And so my homeboy was in the band, and the band used to volunteer at Falcons games, right? Like, you come in as a volunteer, like as a vendor or whatever, you get into the game. And so they were also able to volunteer at the SEC championship game. So we're like, what about the Super Bowl? And so I'm with my man, and you need to understand who I was with. A gentleman whose email address prominently featured the word klepto. It was klepto_9, I believe. He that dude, you know, he the dude that go to the club with no money, but he gonna figure out how to get in, you know? But I thought this time he had a legitimate plan. So we there, and I see somebody else who had done the volunteer thing, and they was trying to get it going. And my man goes to the front of the line and comes back to me and is like, hey, let's go get in this other line. And I don't know nothing about the process, so I'm like, okay. So we go get in the other line, and we waiting, and he walks away, and he comes back, and we're close to the front. And he looks up, and he looks back at me, and he goes, Charles Greer. I'm like, what? And he says some other name, John Williams. I'm like, what? So he goes first. And they go, what's your name? He says, John Williams. And the dude looks on a list. And he finds John Williams. There you go. And he hands him his stuff. And he asks me, and he's like, so what's your name? I said, Charles Green. And he looks on the list. I don't see a Charles Green. I said, oh, no. Because I looked at the list and saw it. Charles Greer. And he goes, okay. And so he handed me my stuff. And then I start walking. And some big old dude with the standard issue teal sport coat for the Georgia Dome, a big old ring of keys, and a walkie-talkie, stops and puts his hand on my chest and says, what's your name? I say, Charles Greer. You not Charles Greer. And he was correct. I was not Charles Greer. Since I had not left the house expecting to be Charles Greer, I did not have an explanation for either why I was or was not Charles Greer and should not be arrested. But he got on that walkie-talkie and I just rolled out. And so my homeboy, because he lives this life, he's undeterred. He's like, no, we just gonna go over here. No, I'm going home.
Yeah, I'm done with this.
I'm out of this. I'm out. No way. I'm gone. I'm going home.
That's
and so I
worst.
Rolled out. Yeah, my man swears that he stayed there the whole time. But anyway, I brought that up just to let you know the proximity of the campus to the domes. And so I remember we had driven past Morris Brown. And Morris Brown is a small college that is literally across the street from the Georgia Dome, Mercedes-Benz, World Congress Center, all of that. And the natives was in the parking lots at Morris Brown with them parking signs. Morris Brown apparently hadn't thought this out, but the locals had. And they was ready, or they got there before the Morris Brown people did. I'm not sure which, but the locals at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning was like, yo, I got my parking lot. I'm about to get this bread.
That was ingenuity. I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah, yes.
And Morris Brown didn't do nothing about it? They didn't get them a little piece of nothing?
No, I don't know. Like I say, maybe Morris Brown came out later, because after I left the dome, I left the scene. I went to my parents' house. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was this close to going to jail, and I don't know if my daddy would have found that story nearly as funny as I did.
Yeah, I started, like, whenever you are around those type of people, the interesting part is when it gets hot. I get real uncomfortable. I'm with you. I'm not prepared for the heat that you are accustomed to.
Right.
But, yeah.
Nicknamed the Wizard, Ozzie Newsome was a Hall of Fame tight end, and in 2002 was named the first black general manager in the NFL. Under Newsome's watch, the Ravens won 2 Super Bowls while drafting 3 Hall of Famers and 25 Pro Bowlers.
Who you got winning this game? You with me, right? The Rams?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I don't know how people are bringing themselves. I was wrong last week, just like you were wrong last week. But every angle I look at this game, the only thing that people have to try to argue for the Bengals is like Joe Burrow magic.
Yes.
And I can't get on board with Joe Burrow magic. Like, he's a very good quarterback. And I tried to get on board with that Mahomes magic last year, and I learned my lesson. If they can't block for you, it don't matter what type of incredible throws you can pull off. You're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I just, like I said before, that's Aaron Donald, that's Von Miller, that's Leonard Floyd, and that's Cincinnati.
They got the kicker, though. Like, I'm looking at where they might have an advantage is the kicker advantage. But I do also, like, I've noticed that the belief is that Joe Burrow is, like, so much better than Matt Stafford. And maybe he will be, but the numbers don't really support that this season, that he is so much better than Matt Stafford. I think he's, like, graded out better than Matt Stafford, at least recently. But Burrow is impressive because he's probably a little bit better than Matt Stafford at a much earlier stage than he's supposed to be. But I don't got him in here just lights out killing the game. Their way of winning this game is going to have to be winning in the red zone. Like, that's all it comes down to. They're going to have to force the Rams in the field goals, and they're going to have to score touchdowns. I don't see them having the ability to completely shut the Rams down and also having the ability to win a shootout, because Joe Burrow's going to make some big plays because he's holding onto the ball too long and people are going to get open, but he's also going to get sacked a number of times, and them things might be fumbles, sack fumbles, and that thing's going to be over. Just head up. I don't think they stand a chance. It's going to have to be some sort of, like, I wouldn't say fluke. Fluke is crazy, but it's going to have to be some sort of, like, red zone discrepancy, turnover discrepancy, because I don't think that they are the better team. Statistically, it doesn't bear it out. And by the names on the back of the jerseys, it don't bear it out. The Rams defense got three future Hall of Famers on it, guys. That ain't going to be easy to take care of.
Bengals won those three games by 13 points. No, I mean, that's not shade to them, right? Yeah, but this is fact. Not some dominant juggernaut. Mm-hmm. That has come out here. And two of those teams they beat wasn't even, like, really that good. Like, I know the Titans had the best record in the AFC, but I don't know anybody who thought they were going to win the AFC. The Raiders, I don't know anybody that, like, I say this, if you had said their run was involved Bills and Chiefs, I wouldn't care what the point differential was. It wouldn't have been that. And good for them, man. Like, I think Bengals fans think we out here hating on them. I just don't. Y'all didn't believe they was going to win nothing until they did.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? And I know this because I ain't know that some of y'all was Bengals fans until now. Y'all ain't say nothing about it.
Yeah, and that's fine. It's reasonable. Just continue to be reasonable. At the beginning of the season, you have reasonable expectations. And right now, I think some of them might be getting unreasonable expectations. But it's fine to accept that your team is overachieved and they may mess around and win the Super Bowl. But let's not pretend like they're expected to win the Super Bowl. Like, I feel like you are picking – I'm not even sure what the spread is. I think it was like 4 points, but it seems like they are a decided underdog in my view. But yeah, I guess crazier things have happened. But the point is, it falls in that category of crazy things happening to me, at least.
I mean, I talked myself into the Falcons winning that Super Bowl where the man of the year got arrested for soliciting a prostitute. Now, for all I know, maybe if the man of the year doesn't solicit a prostitute, maybe the thing ends differently. I had a good explanation for that too that year. That Falcons team was good.
Yeah,
Chris Chandler actually played better that year than John Elway did. Like, it was a lot of stuff, man. They got smoked, and a man of the year individually got smoked. Guess he was a little sleepy.
When's the last time we had one of those just straight up bad blowout Super Bowls? I feel like when I was growing up, like in the 90s,
it was all the time.
Every single time, like the 49ers was boat racing people every year. It didn't seem like we had no close Super Bowls. When I was a kid, like the NFC Championship game was the Super Bowl every year.
Yeah, the last boat race Super Bowl was Buccaneers Raiders 20 years ago. Off the top of my head.
Oh, no. Seahawks.
What the Seahawks did to... Yeah, New York, you're right.
New York Super Bowl.
But they did to Denver. Yeah, they beat them 40-8.
It was painful. And then Peyton Manning came back the next year and somehow stole them one.
Yo, that's amazing. I had not thought about that it really had been that, because it used to be every year. Like, you go through the 80s, boat race Super Bowls in the 80s. I'm going to start with 81. 81 wasn't a boat race. We had a boat race Super Bowl in 83, in 85. As I recall, 86 wasn't close. 87 was a boat race. 89 was a boat race. 91 was a boat race. 92 was a boat race. 94 was a boat race. 98 was a boat race. 2000 was a boat race. That's 10 in 20 years.
That's, again, impressed with that you can pull all this off the top of your head. But the Ravens had that one against the Giants was pretty ugly also. And then the following year was when New England's dynasty, like, surprised everybody and started.
Still can't believe that happened.
Yeah, that was the crazy Man, so maybe that's what we're looking at. Because I know I wasn't expecting New England to win that game, and then it seemed like they couldn't lose after that. So maybe that's what we're looking at for the Bengals. I can't see it.
Yeah, I ain't going to say they're going to get Bo Race. I'm going to try to be nicer about that after my definitive they will not beat the Chiefs. You know, I might be a little gun-shy, you know what I'm saying, about the way that that one wound up going. Like, here's what I wonder about the Rams if they win it. Like, so how big a star does Jalen Ramsey become? You know, like, how much bigger a star does Odell Beckham become? What does, like, what kind of star? I mean, because they are still in L.A., and the Rams right. are making the decision and the play that in order for us to get a foothold in this city, we need stars.
It seems like a smart play, but I'm not sure that either of them get any bigger.
See, I think there's room for Jalen Ramsey to get bigger.
Yeah, there's room for Jalen Ramsey to get bigger. I'm not sure that he does. It depends on how he plays in this game, because there's only a couple names and faces that penetrate the culture in a game like this. Odell Beckham will be one of them, but he can't get much bigger. Cooper Kupp, if he goes off, he can get bigger.
If Cooper Kupp wins Super Bowl MVP, you guys need to understand, they're like, we've been waiting for so long since Don Hutson. They're skipping over Lance Allworth. They're going, oh, he has been cold this year. Yeah. Do not get me wrong. I got no knock on his play. The only thing I always say, and this isn't just about him, is you cannot compare receiving statistics now to receiving statistics of 25, 30 years ago, because the rules are just so completely different, right? What defensive backs can't do now versus what they could do before just really flips the game up. But that dude still went out there and put up one of the greatest seasons in the history of the NFL.
The reason why it's still great is I agree with you, but you can compare them to what they do relative to their peers.
Correct.
And he dominated his peers this year with Matthew Stafford at quarterback, which I think you and I both agree that Matthew Stafford ain't John Elway.
It's a hit or miss proposition.
Yeah, and to do that with him in this offense, in this era of football, to be, by all measurable statistics, the best receiver in football, impressive. And if he goes off, he get MVP, or if he don't get MVP, if he just score enough that they show his face a couple times and they win, oh, man, he about to get that quarterback money. He going to be selling mattresses, insurance. They love to get quarterbacks to sell insurance. He going to be selling all the insurances. Dak going to have to give up his Sleep Number ad. It's over. He's going to take it all. Selling cars, whatever.
Cooper Kupp walk in here right now, and I hope he got a jersey on. I would not recognize him by face. Like, it's not like I'm not familiar with his work, yeah, right? But this is just kind of the nature of being a football player. I think I told you once, man, I went to a party in Atlanta once, a little small joint, and it's a lot of, it seemed like it was a bunch of UGA dudes, right? But it's a lot of football players. And it was a whole lot of, I know you from somewhere. Yeah. Like, I recognize that you are a football player. Please don't, like, expect me to know your name. Like, I'll know your name if you tell me, and I might even be able to give you some stats.
Does Cooper still have that beard? I feel like I remember him having, like, a beard. So I think I would be able to pick him out, but have you, this just hit me, have you advanced to your celebrity to the point where people always know your name? Because, like, I still get less than before, but I still get ESPN. Hey.
Yeah, no, I still get ESPN. I still get some ESPN, but I'm at the point where the mask won't save me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, when this first hit, I was like, great mask. Man, people started spotting me with the mask. And then I was like, okay, but I'm growing this hair and I ain't really been on TV. Like, Nope. People got an eye for that, Jack.
Yeah, that I know you from somewhere thing. How do you react when somebody say, I know you from somewhere? Are you below?
I keep moving.
Yeah, me too. I don't know
what that means. Like, I know why. I got my reason why I think you might.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the reason actually is. Nah. I tell you this, though, man. I was out handling some business the other day in Midtown. 5-0 was out there. And homie was so happy to see me, he showed me that he was listening to the podcast as we spoke.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. But let me tell you about this one. So Obama had come to do something for the undefeated in Greensboro mm-hmm. a few years ago.
I remember.
And they flew me up for that. I have a great story about that I can't tell on the air. But anyway, so I'm there and I had gotten a rental car because, you know, I just went to, you know, I stayed in Durham, right? So, like, you know, I got the rental car. I went down. I parked my car. And they had all the Secret Service and stuff that was like going and checking cars and stuff. So I was like, man, I don't know what y'all gonna find. You know what I'm saying? It's like, cause I'm there and I'm sitting on the outside of the building and these two white cops see me, and they, like, approach. Like, they moving with purpose. And I'm like, what? One of them points at me, and one of them says, he wanted to meet you.
Aw.
And the cop went all fanboy. And it was all, but I did tell him, hey, you got to come up with a different approach when you coming off the clock. You know what I'm saying? Like when you coming for non-business reasons. So yeah. I don't know what kind of, like, you know, they be like, you got to identify yourself as police. Like identify that you on a coffee break or something, right? Identify yourself as a fan, come in peace. Whatever it happens to be. Yeah. Because all I saw was 5-0 running up on me. And I want to say this, like, 2016?
Yeah.
It was tight out here in these streets, bro.
Yeah. I don't know what year it would have to be for either of us to be comfortable. I imagine that they probably were walking over as pleasantly as possible. But through your prism, like,
yeah,
two white cops walking at you dressed in police attire like that.
Like, when they off the clock, do they forget how regular people knock on doors? or do they still come up with...
That's it. That's all they know. I think that's all they know. I don't know. I've never had my door knocked on by a police officer who wasn't doing police officer things. Only time I've had doors knocked on was by police officers was because they wanted something. Music down or something.
Yeah, nah, I don't really just be posting up.
The best thing about the getting recognized, I was in LA, like the desert, not in LA, but like in Southern California at like a desert resort. And we went to like Walmart or something to grab like some whatever for the room. And this like older black guy, like 50 something year old black guy, had on red pants and a yellow mesh cutoff shirt. And that's it. And came over aggressively walking directly for me. I'm in the parking lot. He's beeline. Like, you can tell it's coming right for me. Like, hey. And I stop. Just want to let you know, brother, keep doing your thing. I feel like that's similar to your police story, because it was based on anytime somebody walking up to you, hey, it's uncomfortable. And then you look at him like, oh, this is going to be a weird interaction. But I do know that better than anything, close to getting my paycheck doing this job, when middle-aged black men come up to me and say something.
It's love.
To the effect of, keep doing your thing, or you holding it down, brother, or something like, keep telling them what they need to hear. Man, that is it. That is my fuel. I don't know what these kids call it.
Thanks for everything you do.
What? And it has to be a middle-aged black man.
It works okay as younger, right? So, like, when we started doing High Noon, one thing I tried to do was I wanted to get Pablo out here, like, amongst the people, because I wanted him to understand who our base really was. You know what I mean? Like, it ain't your partners. Like, you need to understand who it is. And so we'd be, like, walking the street, and the cats that stopped and talked to me is the dude driving the truck, right? Like, dudes with their names on their shirts when they go to work. Like, I was like, yo, these are the people that we need to talk to, because these are the ones who appreciate this more than anybody else, right? Like, it's like, we were shooting something in Harlem when we were doing the pilot for the HBO show, and we needed a restaurant to just let us use a little outdoor space, which, of course, was precious at this time, right? Because, you know, that's all, you know, COVID, all that. And so we sending the team out to ask, and they keep coming out getting rejections. And I'm like, all right. I looked at one of them and was like, okay, I'm going with you, because I understand what's going on here, yeah, right?
Right.
And so I go with them, and I'm like, hey, man, got this show, trying to get this thing going for HBO, da-da-da. Dude had no idea who I was. He was completely unaware of me. But young brother out here trying to make it.
Exactly.
Gave us a space. Hands me a business card. Let me know how it goes. Thanks so much. You know, all that stuff, dot, dot, dot. I was like, nah, man, nah, that's the base.
I had I went to the grocery store a couple of days ago, and I had to ask one of the ladies that was working there, and she was probably 45, 50-year-old woman stocking shelves. I had to ask her where something was, and she did a double take and then came over. I have a mask on everything, and came over and was like, oh, yeah. She wanted to tell me, like, man, I appreciate everything. I watch every day. I love it. blah, 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 blah. But she had a message for Stephen A. She was giving me these Stephen A. hot takes and wanted me to tell Stephen A. And like, it's playful, but she's like, you would tell Stephen A. to sit on down somewhere, give me all that. And like, that is that experience. And maybe other people experience it also. But for me, the older, slightly older Black people who see our shows or see whatever we're doing or read what we're writing and appreciate it, that is the fuel that feels like, I don't know, feels like jet engine fuel for me. I'd be floating on cloud nine. Anything other than that, I guess, would never happens anymore. But back when I played football, attractive women coming up to you, that was pretty nice. But yeah, I don't get that so much anymore. But this is better than that.
It surprises me that you don't get that so much anymore. And I only say that because, like, when you was a football player, y'all anonymous as hell. You know what I mean?
Nah.
Or they can just tell.
Nah. Pros are pros. So when I was working at the basketball union, we were at Vegas for the summer meetings. And, like, the people that were there, the women that were around our hotel, knew what they were looking for. Like, obviously, my clothes are normal, and I'm 5'11". Nobody see anything with me, but I had on my nice watch. And I remember getting off of the elevator and a woman, like probably like 25-year-old. And it was like three girls or women together. And one of them was like, nice watch. What's your name? And I was like, all right, you know what you're looking for. So like that would happen where, I don't know, it was pretty easy, I think, when I was playing ball, because like we would go certain places that there weren't very many people our age or our complexion, and they knew you did something.
Yeah, see, I guess where it gets interesting for me is particularly because you're a DB.
Yeah.
Right? DBs look like regular people until you see them in, like, athletic gear. You know what I mean?
Maybe I'm just handsome. That's what it comes down
to. Yeah, you just got all the game already, big dog. Like, that's all it is. You the man. You the man. You the man. You the man. All right, so we both on the Rams. G-Funk Super Bowl, man. Are you ready for the G-Funk Super Bowl?
No.
You see people out here telling me that they need to boycott because of the coaching situation. Like, it wasn't the NFL in the first place. Yeah. Like, they ain't know who it was.
Yeah, that's a weird. Yeah, this is the coaching situation. There's plenty of reasons to be upset at the NFL. This is I guess this will be the straw in their analogy that breaks the camel's back. Because if you sign these checks, then you are comfortable with a lot of other things. So I'm not as excited for it as you are. I don't know.
I've been campaigning for this for a decade. You better get excited. You better get crunk.
What we going to get is a lot of mom spaghetti. We going to get Kendrick reading a poem to start it is what's going to happen.
Play the music.
Thank you for your patience. A representative from the right time will be with you shortly. Your current hold time is
15 seconds.
Have I assured you? Do I make you feel better?
Okay, I'm a little bit more excited right now because what I imagine, because they have so many people and people with incredibly popular catalogs. Like, I thought they was going to try to do too much.
No.
And when they was going to intro us on Kendrick reading a poem, I had that.
No. Dr. Dre's robbing this train.
That's fair.
You know, it ain't going to be that. But G-Funk Super Bowl coming. Get ready. I've been wanting this for so long. It is such an amazing thing that is actually taking place. It kind of makes us feel like we won. You know what I'm saying? Kind of makes us feel like we made it. I mean, we got to bring Eminem along. That's fine. You know what I'm saying? Like he ain't bad. Nah, you know, you keep him in the right lane and everything can wind up being okay. Mary J. Blige, good thing for her. She going to be up there with some gangsters. So ain't nobody going to be expecting her to dance.
I love Mary J's dancing. It's interesting.
Hey, I give her credit, man. That's how you know she rich. She be doing that in front of people. You know me. Ain't no way in the world. Dance in front of Black people like a job interview. Like, you will not get me there.
I was watching something yesterday. I don't even know what it was, but I heard the man say that people told him he'd be dancing to the words. And not
Michael Smith said that. That's hilarious.
Oh, that's what it was. I was listening to this show. Man, now I see Mary J. when she dancing, like, you out here dancing to the words, not the music.
Yeah, like
Eminem don't got, so Eminem is a talented rapper, obviously. But Eminem don't got no songs that I want in my halftime show. Like my,
no, I think Lose Yourself song. Is perfect for the halftime show.
But I don't like that.
That's pretty
song.
Dope. That's pretty dope.
I don't I don't like that's that song personally. Dope. That's not the Eminem that I go for. I don't hate it, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, I it's gonna work out okay. Eminem knows this is a California show. He know why he there.
Yeah. Poor Eminem. His recent stuff that it just feels like he's reaching for something that ain't there, trying to remind everybody how good he is. While music has changed, you still doing that flow that made you popular. And like, I hear the songs, I'm like, man, that dude is talented. But then I don't never listen to the song again. And that's unfortunate because he is talented. I wish he could find what he's looking for, but it ain't working.
Kendrick. Yeah. Kendrick, honestly, we don't need him.
Yeah.
I guess that's for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's surprising though, because I guess it's just with all media is becoming like the time period and the connection between like authentic, what feels like authentically popular and what feels like kind of washed, because the Super Bowl is for washed performers. I don't care what you say. It used to be, at least. It's coming to a point now where Kendrick is by no means washed. The rest of these people, I mean, Wash feels like a pejorative, but they are past their musical prime.
Yeah, but that's the point. That's the median audience now.
Right.
Like, you have to build up, for the most part, 20 years of goodwill or be like Maroon 5 or something like that, right? But, you know, but you have to build up a track record. And there are more people, they'd be like, oh, man, like when they had The Who that year, like, oh, man, it's The Who. Yeah, because more people go watch The Who, and people who spend money. Mm-hmm. They go watch The Who. Yo, broke ass over here wondering how come Chingy ain't doing no songs. They ain't making no money off that. That's all. That's all. But ladies and gentlemen, that is Dominique Foxworth. Check him out on Get Up, The Undefeated, Debatable, all over the place. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. We do this 3 times a week. Gabe Bassan, Addy Khan, handling everything behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow us, rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.